Hey friends, this is Pastor Brian Worth. Thanks for listening to my latest sermon. Get more of my teachings on YouTube at Chapel of Change TV and tune in every Sunday on the radio on 99.5 FM for fresh hope.
God is doing something special at Chapel of Change. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Micah, Micah chapter 2, verse 13. Micah is going to be a hard book to find. It's towards the middle of your Bible and the end of the Old Testament. It's a minor prophet. It's a little book, so I'm going to give you a moment to find it. Micah chapter 2, verse 3. It's hard to find. It's like in a little alley of the Bible. And you're going to have to find it. Micah chapter 2, towards the middle of your Bible, towards the end of the Old Testament. Now, we are concluding our study on understanding the mystery of doors. Understanding the mystery of doors. For the last month or so, we have been studying on this broad subject of understanding the mystery of doors. And today I want to use as a springboard Micah chapter 2, verse 13, as we talk about this morning, opening doors with supernatural force. Opening doors with supernatural force. Now let me read this as a springboard to our study this morning. Opening doors with supernatural force. Someone say supernatural force. Listen to the prophet Micah. He said, "The one who breaks open the way will go up before them." Someone say the one. And when you look in your Bible, you'll see that one is capitalized. That word one is capitalized because it's referring to someone major. It's referring to someone big, and we're going to get to that in a moment. "The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through." Someone say breakthrough. Someone say breakthrough. I hope somebody came today for a breakthrough. I hope somebody came today for a breakthrough. It says they will break through the gate. Someone say gate. That's synonymous for door, but there is a slight difference between a gate and a door. I taught you this a couple weeks ago. A door represents a small space. A gate represents territory, a larger space. And they're basically the same thing. They're blocking you from getting into another space, but a door represents small space. A gate represents territory. A door represents one or two people getting through that thing. But there are some gates that the enemy has set up that have kept your whole family locked up, that have kept generations locked up. And you're wondering why your family tree or your family as a whole has not broken into certain levels of fruitfulness or success or even power or even promotion. Your great-grandfather tried but failed. Your grandfather tried but failed. And the reason is, for some people, there are spiritual gates that the enemy has set up to keep our families held back and to keep our families bound and stuck. We learned last week that somebody could be stuck behind a closed door or a gate for 38 years. So when a gate opens, it represents not just you walking through it, but your spouse being able to walk through it, your children to be able to walk through that space, your grandchildren able to walk through that space. I'm praying that at Chapel of Change, we don't just affect one marriage, we affect a genealogy, we affect a family tree. We're affecting your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren that are not even born yet, and you're going to go to deeper levels, higher levels of power and anointing and blessing and promotion. Someone say, break the gates. So he says right there, he will break through the gate and go out. Their king. Someone say, king. Ooh, that now is giving you a hint of who that one is. Will pass through before them. He's going to go before us. He's going to run some interference for us. That's why I don't have to be afraid about tomorrow, because my king is already there. I got a major meeting this week on Thursday. I got to drive all the way to the other side of Los Angeles, West LA, and I am not afraid of that meeting. You know why? Because my king is already there. And he promised that he's gonna go before me. He's gonna break open the way. So even though I have a major meeting and I'm gonna get prepared for that meeting, I'm gonna dress up for that meeting, I'm gonna probably get a haircut too for that meeting, but I ain't afraid of that meeting. Why? Because my king is already there. He said he will go before you. That's a promise of the Bible, and that applies to your life. Some of you got to have a job interview. I don't know. Some of you have a job interview. You got something that's going on in the next month. You need God to do something in April, and I want you to know that the Lord is already there in April running interference for you, blocking things and destroying things and removing things and uplifting things. Someone shout amen. He said, so their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Now we're going to use that as a springboard, and I'm going to come back to it, but just keep that on the shelf of your heart, because today we're concluding our study on the mystery of understanding doors, the mystery of understanding doors. And I want to do a short review to catch us up, and then I'm going to close out with what the Lord would have me to share today. So follow along with me, pay attention, because I believe God is going to speak to somebody. He already is. God is already speaking. You feel it in your heart. That burning sensation you feel in your heart, that's what you call old folks used to call that a holy heartburn. And that's an indication that God is already speaking to you. Does anybody feel that already in the worship, in the praise? That means God is here. I was telling somebody, I don't know why, but by the grace of God, Chapel of Change is a thin place. It is a thin place between earth and heaven. God, heaven breaks out at Chapel of Change. Heaven breaks out. How do I know that? Because people are getting saved here. People are getting delivered here. People are rededicating their life to the Lord here. You can't have that without the Holy Ghost. You do anything without the Holy Ghost, that's just a religious activity. And there's no power without the Holy Ghost. Someone shout amen. So the Bible talks a lot about doors or gates. And just follow along. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says, there is a wide open door for a great work here. Wide open door. That's what we're praying. Wide open door over your life, over your family. Now, remember, we gave you two definitions of what a door is. Number one, a door is authorized access. It's authorized access. Those are open doors. Access to new opportunities, access to blessing, access to promotion. But there's also a negative kind of definition to door, and it's called hindrances and limitations and restrictions. These are closed doors. Someone say closed doors. Now, not all closed doors are bad. We learned that already. Not all closed doors are bad. When you're in the kingdom of God, there's sometimes God will close a door to redirect you. Sometimes God will close a door to increase your value. It's not time yet. You need to wait on the Lord. He needs to increase your strength. He needs to increase your power. He needs to increase your anointing. He needs to develop you in a particular way before he opens that door. So to a Christian, not all closed doors are bad. Are you following along? We also learn that doors can be circumstances, doors can be people, and doors can be evil spirits assigned to block you from moving through. They can be people, they can be circumstances, or they could be evil spirits assigned to block you from advancing. We also learned, pay attention, I'm reminding you of some key things, that most doors you encounter in life will be initially closed. Most of the doors you encounter in life will initially be closed. That's why you got to be able to handle a no. You cannot fall apart off a no. You got to be able to have faith for a no. You cannot throw in the towel. Just you're going to hear, if you're a mover and shaker, if you're trying to do something for the Lord, there are some people it takes time for them to catch up with what God is trying to do in your life. So initially they're going to say, no, it can't be done. No, it's not going to happen. No. And you cannot get mad at them because God didn't call them. God called you. Is anybody following along? You got to be able to have faith for a no. So most doors you encounter in life will be first closed. And when you hit a closed door, remember, your job when you first hit a closed door is not to bust it down. That's a mistake. That's a rookie mistake. A rookie mistake. If you trying to just, every time you hit a closed door, you just immediately try to knock that down, it's a rookie mistake. All closed doors are not bad. You don't just go try to knock it down. And you got to be careful, because in the mystery of the sovereignty of God, sometimes he'll allow you to do something you want that is not necessarily best for you. Just talk to the children of Israel. It wasn't best for them to have a king, but they wanted it. And God said, okay, you want a king, but listen, you're going to come with a price. And I don't understand how God is like that. It's just in his mercy and his grace. Sometimes he'll allow you to have what you want, even though it's not best for you. And so it's a rookie mistake to try to knock down every closed door that's right in front of your face. Does anybody follow along? So you pray. You ask God, what do you want me to do behind for this closed door? You want me to wait? Do you want me to wait? Are you trying to redirect me? Or do you want me to open the door? There are some doors, many doors, that God is going to want you to open. That's going to want open for you. Are you following along? We learned that there's three general ways that you open up doors. Number one, you open up through keys. Someone say keys. In Mark 16, 19, Jesus said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, pay attention. We learned that the way the kingdom functions is that every possibility is controlled by a key. Remember I taught you that? You got to learn the way of the kingdom. If you're going to master life, you got to learn the way of the kingdom. And the way the kingdom functions is that every possibility is controlled by a key. That means breakthrough is controlled by a key. Blessing is controlled by a key. Healing is controlled by a key. Promotion is controlled by a key. And we learned that a kingdom key is the understanding and applying of biblical principles that address your situation. It's the understanding and applying of biblical principles that address your situation. So every time you understand a principle of the Bible and you apply it to your life, you're turning the key. You understand that? Every time you understand a biblical principle, you apply it. You apply. Very important that you obey what you learn. That you obey what you learn. Right? God is not going to give you something more if you're not obeying what he's already telling you to do. Every time you understand a principle, you apply it to your life, you are turning a key. You are turning a key. You are turning a key. And in a very real sense, every time we come together and we open the Bible, what we're doing is, you may not see it, but there is a spiritual transaction that is happening right now. I'm handing you keys. I'm handing you keys. The Spirit of the Lord is handing you keys. He's throwing keys at you. And you take them keys and you go back home and you unlock things in your marriage. You unlock things in your home. You unlock things at your job. You unlock possibilities in this world. You unlock promotion in this world. There is a spiritual transaction that is happening right now. You don't see it, but every time we preach and teach and you understand the word and you begin to apply, I'm throwing a key. I'm throwing a key. I'm throwing a key. You better catch the keys. A couple of things happened to me the last couple of weeks that I want to share. But, you know, we've been talking about doors. We talk about keys. We taught extensively on keys. And you know that we're preparing to buy the ranch home, which is two blocks away from here. And we're going to turn it into an Abide Women's Discipleship home. We're gonna buy that thing. We're going to turn it into a discipleship home. You guys know this because we're preparing to give an offering for that on Easter weekend. It's a big project. And for the last couple months, whenever you do something big, you got to seek God's confirmation. You don't just rush to it. You seek God's confirmation. Are you following along? Lord, do you want us to do this? Because it's huge. It's $1.2 million. Who got $1.2 million, right? It's a huge project to do. So we've been seeking God's will and his affirmation. And we believe that through a series of events, God has been confirming over and over that he wants us to take the land. And there's been two confirmations. There's been multiple confirmations the last couple of days, but I want to just tell you two. And about two weeks ago, I had to bring the realtor into the home to walk through the home and walk through the property. By the way, today at 2:30, we're going to go into the property and we're going to pray over that property and claim it in the name of Jesus. At 2:30, we're going to go on the property. We're going to claim it in the name of Jesus. If you want to go with us, get with Pastor Raymond. He'll tell you the information. But about 2 weeks ago, I walked into the property with our real estate agent, and we're walking through the property, and as we go to the back, there's horses, and there's sheep, and there's, it's a ranch home, and there's, in the back of the house, there's a little park, a park of Long Beach, and there's a kitchen there, and there's this nice kind of space, and so I needed to get back there so the realtor could see it. So as I'm walking towards that gate, hello, somebody, as I'm walking towards that gate, the owner of the home turns to me, and he has the keys to the house, and he throws it at me, and he says, "Here, Brian, take these keys, because you need to get used to them, because they're going to be yours pretty soon." And I took a picture. I had to take a picture, because some of y'all be thinking I'm lying, but we've been teaching on doors. We've been teaching on, haven't we been teaching on keys? Haven't we been teaching on keys? He threw me the keys to the property and said, "Here, get used to them." I said, I turned around real fast and I took a picture. Because y'all don't be believing what I be telling y'all, man. That's the key to the house. God said he's giving us the keys of the kingdom. I can't get over that. We just talked about the keys of the kingdom. Let me just have a moment. All right. We're going to go pray over at 2:30. I hope you're going with us. Yeah, I need everybody's faith. But this is confirmation. Because up until about a week ago, we've been saying, you know, if it's the Lord's will, because we're exploring God. But I'm here to let you know today, we're getting rid of the word if in the name of Jesus. And we're claiming it in the name of Jesus. And we're going to go stomp on it over there in the name of Jesus today. But I also want to share with you another confirmation God gave me yesterday. It's a little bit more deeper, but I want you to bear with me. I'm going to take you into deep waters, but I promise I'm going to bring you back. Because this is the reality. God gave me another confirmation yesterday. I wasn't asking for it. He just hit me with a ton of bricks. A couple weeks ago, I was asked to officiate a funeral of a young lady. She was in her 20s. And I want to show you the picture of yesterday. And by the way, that's Brother Haseem right there, who's standing right there. And he's in our Kingsman Discipleship Home. He's getting trained up in the ways of the Lord. And I want to try to convey to you what the Lord impressed upon my heart. I was sitting there in the funeral, in the viewing, and I looked as the young lady in her 20s, she was laying in the casket, and I looked. When you're in these moments, I teach leaders, don't run from the moment. You got to embrace the moment. You got to step into that pain, because we're called to be an extension of Jesus. And so I'm stepping into that pain, and I look, and I see two little girls who are the kids of this young lady, and they're over the casket, or they're near the casket. And they're crying for their mother. They're crying for their mother. And I didn't come into that situation seeking confirmation for the Women's Abide Discipleship Home. But how many of you know God moves in certain ways? And as I sat there, I realized, when we first started our church, and I'm going to say this respectfully, Marianne, when we first started our church, Marianne asked me to officiate the funeral of her daughter, who was also in her 20s, and she was murdered in the city of Whittier. She was shot multiple times. And I officiated her funeral some years ago. And then about a year ago, I officiated the daughter, respectively speaking, of Shannon Schultz, who I believe she OD'd off of meth, and she was like 20s, in her 20s. And there I was sitting at this funeral of this other 20-something-year-old. And listen, here's what I'm getting at. These ladies had a fear of God in their heart. They had a knowledge of God in their heart, whether it came from their mother or whether it came from their grandmother, but they had a fear of God in their heart, but they were in bondage to certain elements in the world. They were in bondage to certain elements in the world that kept them in that lifestyle and kept them in that trap. And the Lord impressed upon me, sitting in the midst of that pain, that there's many more young ladies like that in this world. And they're not going to just immediately get up from their addiction or get up from their failure and go to some Bible college. They're not going to just immediately get up and go to Azusa Pacific University or Biola University immediately. They're not going to do that. But they will enter a women's discipleship home. They will be immersed with women that love the Lord, women that are pursuing the Lord. They will enter in that type of home. And we got solid women here, not just women pastors, but we got solid women leaders here that will immerse them in the things of God. And so that was more of a mandate that the Lord kind of put in my heart. And I really believe that if we come together, we can make this happen by the grace of God. Does anybody believe that? I believe when we come together, we can make this happen. So the first way you open up doors is through keys. The second way we learned last week is through knocking. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, knock and the door will be open to you. This refers to the ministry of help from men and women that God sends into our life. This refers to the power of destiny relationships. But then the third way that we enter or we open up a door or a gate, and this is what I'm going to refer to this morning, is through supernatural force. Someone say supernatural force. Now pay attention. I'm going to help you understand why this is necessary. Sometimes you're in front of a closed door that you need to get through, but you don't have time to get the right key. Sometimes you're in front of a closed door and you haven't found the right key fast enough to open the door. Sometimes people's hearts are so cold that they won't open a door for you. We live in a cold world. Let me tell you, we live in a cold world of betrayal. We live in a cold world of backstabbing, and even though there are people assigned to help you in this life, sometimes people's hearts grow cold, and they will not open a door for you. Are you following along? And here's another thing. Sometimes there are doors that are demonically reinforced. They're demonically reinforced, and a key won't necessarily open it up in a speedy time. And the hearts of your helpers have grown cold. There's some doors that are demonically reinforced. We see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Listen to what it says. It says, "For this is Apostle Paul speaking. He said, for we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan blocked our way." This was the great Apostle Paul. This is probably the most powerful Christian in all of history. He wanted to do something. He desired to do something. Again and again, he says, I desired to go. I desired to go. But what happened? Satan blocked him. There's some doors that are demonically reinforced. Paul desired to go to the Thessalonian church, but Satan blocked him. And I would suggest that that's the story of many people in this world today. I would suggest that's the story of many people in this world today. I desire to be free from addiction, but there's something blocking me. I desire to be above the brokenness of my family, but something's blocking me. I desire to rise above my pain, but something's blocking me. I desire to be a godly husband or a godly wife, but there's something blocking me. That's the story of many people in this world, and that's why it takes more than desire to rise in life. It takes more than desire to rise in life. It takes supernatural force. It takes supernatural force. That's why I feel for those who do not believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I feel for those who do not believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, because you do not rise by accident. You rise by supernatural force. And let me teach you this morning that some doors don't need to be opened. They need to be broken. Some doors do not need to be open. They need to be broken. And there are some doors in life that are so demonically reinforced that God says, I love you enough, I'm going to come down there myself, and I'm going to break that gate. I'm going to bust that gate open. I'm not going to open it, because if you open something, someone else can come along and shut it. If you open up, someone else can come. I'm destroying that gate once and for all. I'm destroying that door once and for all. And this is where we get to Jesus, our breaker king. Jesus, our breaker king. You know, there's many titles of Jesus in the Bible. And each title expresses a certain aspect of who he is and what he does. And so you hear Prince of Peace, you've heard the Bright and Morning Star, you heard Emmanuel, you heard King of Kings, you've heard Lord of Lords, you heard the Son of David, you heard the Son of Man. These are all titles of Jesus that express a certain aspect of who he is and what he does. But I want you to know this morning that the prophet Micah reveals a title of Jesus that is less known, but it's so powerful. And I want to help you get a revelation of this this morning. I'm going to read again Micah chapter 2, verse 13, but in the Amplified version. Listen to what it says in the Amplified version. It says, the breaker. Someone say breaker. It says, the breaker, the Messiah who opens the way, shall go up before them, liberating them. They will break out. Someone say break out. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out. So their king goes on before them, the Lord at their head. The prophet Micah reveals this title of Jesus that is rarely talked about, but it's so, so powerful that he's not just full of grace, but he's not just full of mercy, but Jesus is also the breaker king. He's the breaker king. Jesus is the one who breaks open the way. He's the one who breaks apart obstacles. He's the one that breaks away things that are in front of us. Some doors are not meant to be open, but broken. Some doors are not meant to be open, but broken. And God is telling a family today that I'm going to go down there myself and break the gates in your life. I'm going to go down there myself. You've been trying. You've been doing certain things, and that's good. And praise God, you're positioning yourself for a breakthrough. But I'm going to go down there myself and break the gates in your life. That's supernatural force. This is very important to understand, because most people, if you don't have knowledge of the spiritual realm, you're going to try to fight spirit with physical. You're going to try to fight the spiritual realm with the physical realm. And so you're going to say, oh, the way that I'm going to rise in life is I'm going to get a college degree. And don't get me wrong, if you have an opportunity to get a college degree, but that's fighting physical with the spiritual. Or you might say, you know what, I've been depressed, and so I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm going to work out, I'm going to get my body right, and I'm going to feel better about myself. No, you're not. Because what you're fighting is not physical. It is not just having a bad day, but there are certain spirits that are assigned to certain people's life that you need God to come down through the work of the Holy Ghost and break that gate. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 2, God says, I like this. He says, I will. Someone say, I will. He said, I will go before you. I will go before you and will level the mountains, and I will break down gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I love that promise. He says, I will. I'll come down there. I'll go before you. I'm going to do it. See, Jesus is our breaker king who makes our way possible and passable. He's our breaker who makes the way possible and passable. He's our breaker king. That's who Jesus is. I want us to think about this a little bit more, that our breaker breaks the barrier between God and man. He breaks the barrier between God and man. You know, there's something powerful that happened on Good Friday. Pretty soon, in the next couple of weeks, all our campuses are going to gather together here on Good Friday at 7:15, and we're going to reflect upon the cross of Jesus, because you cannot appreciate the resurrection until you go through the cross. You cannot skip the cross if you are a Christian. And so we're going to reflect upon the cross of Jesus. But something supernatural happened when Jesus died on the cross. In Mark chapter 15, verse 38, it says the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain that represented a barrier, that represented a gate, that represented a door. That curtain represented a barrier between God and man. That behind that curtain was the presence of God. Behind that curtain was the manifest presence of God. And before Jesus, nobody can go through there except the high priest. Nobody can get to the presence of God except the high priest, because that curtain, that gate, that door was blocking the way. But when Jesus died on Calvary, that door was not just open, but it was ripped in half. It was destroyed, giving us access to the Father. Jesus ripped apart and cleared the way so that we have access to the Father. Now I have access to the Father. We have access to grace. We have access to mercy. We have access to power. Remember access? That's what the definition of door is access, authorized access. And Jesus on the cross, he gave us access to the Father. So now that we don't have to go through no man, we don't even have to wait to come to church to experience God. We can get down on our knees in our living room. We can get down on our knees in our room. We could call upon the mighty name of Jesus while we're driving, and we could experience the liberating power of God. He gives us access to the Father. Our breaker breaks the barrier between God and man. But here, lastly, what I want us to think about is our breaker breaks spiritual bondage. He breaks spiritual bondage. There are so many portable and mobile prisons walking around the earth. So many people. They're not in physical prison, but they're in emotional prison. They're in spiritual prison. Portable and mobile prisons, walking around, people that have been in an emotional prison since they were 5 years old and somebody did something to them, or 13 years old and somebody did something to them, and they're imprisoned by defeat, they're imprisoned by discouragement, they're imprisoned by depression or insecurity. The good news is we have a breaker king. We have a breaker king. And the prophet Nahum said in chapter 1, verse 13, he says, now I break their yoke from your neck and tear the shackles away. He, look at that. He says, now I will. There goes that phrase again. I'm coming down. I'm coming down. He says, now I will break the yoke from their neck. Remember, we learned about what a yoke is many months ago. A yoke was an agricultural device where they would learn to train small cattle. And what they would do is it was a big plank of wood, and they would tie a giant ox to one side of the yoke, and they would tie it to a smaller ox on the other side. And that giant ox would drag the little ox around wherever it wants to go. And spiritually speaking, there's a yoke that is on the necks of young men and young women in this world, and it's dragging them into the drug lifestyle. It's dragging them into the gang banging lifestyle, and they really don't want to do it, but they're being drugged anyways. The good news is the breaker king is alive. The breaker king is alive, and he said he'll break the yoke from your neck and tear your shackles away. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. You missed your opportunity right there. You missed your opportunity. You got to be ready. 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 Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise you. Come on, help me out. I just want to pray. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. Come on, give the Lord a hand, praise. So, some doors are not meant to be open. They're meant to be broken. The door of depression must be broken. The door of insecurity must be broken. We're not going to just close that door so somebody else could come along and open it. We're going to destroy that door. In Psalms 107, verse 14, it says, he broke them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke away their chains. Broke them out. That's our breaker king. Jesus is the breaker of guilt. Jesus is the breaker of shame. Jesus is the breaker of condemnation. Jesus is the breaker of shame. Remember that lady that was bent over for, I think it was for like 18 years or something like that in Luke chapter 13? Remember, she was in prison. She was a portable prison. She was a mobile prison, walking around, slumped over for 18 years. But the good news is she came across Jesus one day. And what did our breaker king say? Listen to what our breaker king did. He said, this dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released? Notice what he says. He says, isn't it right? Someone say right. See, when you're in Christ Jesus, you got kingdom rights. When you're in Christ Jesus, you got kingdom right. You have the right to peace. You have the right to healing. You have the right to deliverance. You have the right to walk around with your head up high. You have the right to blessing. You have the right to wholeness. She was a mobile prison walking around, and all along she had rights. Jesus came along and handed her a key. You got the right to peace. You got the right to your children to serve the Lord. You got the right to be in a happy marriage. You got the right to be blessed. You have the right to be free. I'm just throwing some keys out. That's all. I'm just throwing some keys. You have the right to be healed. You have the right to be blessed. You have the right to be fruitful. I'm just throwing some keys out there. Jesus said, isn't it right for it to be released? You're in Christ. We have the right to break forth in freedom. We have the right to break forth in praise. We have the right to break forth in thanksgiving. I got a kingdom right. I want everything that Jesus died for me for. I want everything that Jesus rose from the grave for me for. I want to lick the bowl. I want everything. I'm not going to go to heaven beat up in the you know, worldly sense. I may go to heaven tired because I'm serving the Lord. That's all right. But I ain't going to go to heaven beat up. I want all that God has for me. We have the right supernatural force to deliver you. And I'm speaking to those watching on the monitor, too. That supernatural force can come through that monitor right now and set you free in Jesus' name. I'm going to call up the pastors to come up, some of the same pastors that came up. I want to read to you a picture of what it means to be free, what it looks like to be free. And I'm going to read this over your life. Remember, we don't just read the scriptures. I'm declaring it over your life. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to just declare some open doors over our lives today. I want to declare some open doors. And then I'm going to ask Pastor Raymond to seal it with prayer, But before I start declaring open doors over your life, I want to read this picture because it's a beautiful picture of freedom. It's found in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Just put it up on the screen. Just look at it. Listen to this picture. Do we have Malachi chapter 4, verse 2? Listen to what it says. This is our right. This is our right right here. The Bible teaches that Jesus is our freedom, that he who has the Spirit of the Lord is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's supernatural force. So listen, I don't know what you're battling with today, but some of y'all are battling with the spirit of depression. The spirit of depression. And we're going to, in the name of Jesus, we're going to destroy that door in your life, in Jesus' name, with supernatural force. We're going to destroy that. You're not just having a bad day. It's a spirit. that's trying to torment you so you don't rise to the level that God wants you to have. Listen to this picture. It says, and you will go free, leaping with joy, like calves led out to pasture. Look at this picture of supernatural power in our life. You will go free. This is what the Breaker King does for us. You go free, leaping, leaping with joy, like calves led out to pasture. I want to encourage you to bow your head this morning in Jesus' name. Bow your heads this morning. And what I want you to do is I want you to just receive this. I want you to be in a posture of receiving. The ancient word for agreement between heaven and earth is the word amen. That's an ancient word, and it signifies the agreement between heaven and earth. And I would like the worship team to come up on the stage. So I want you to just, I want you to, let's bow our hearts, and I want you to get in a in a mode of receiving. I'm going to declare some things over your life, and then what I want us to do is I'm going to hand the mic to Pastor Zach, and I want you to declare a couple things over their life in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to declare just a couple things. I want you to declare just a couple things, and I want Pastor Raymond to seal that moment with prayer. But listen, these are men of God. Everybody here is anointed, and we're going to use our authority that God has given us. And we're going to exercise the destroying of doors this morning. The Bible teaches that life and death are in the power of the tongue. That your mouth is not just meant to eat with. It's meant to release power. It's meant to destroy doors with. So let's bow our hearts. Let's bow our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. And I'm just going to start declaring in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare the door of depression to be broken over everybody under the sound of my voice right now. In the name of Jesus, over everybody under the sound of my voice, the door of depression be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus by the supernatural force of God. The door of depression be destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. The door of fear right now in the name of Jesus be destroyed right now. I want you to just come in agreement. I want you to come in agreement right now. Receive this in the name of Jesus. The word amen is the agreement between heaven and earth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we destroy the door of insecurity over everybody under the sound of my voice. In the mighty name of Jesus, the door of insecurity is not going to just be open. It's going to be destroyed. Going to be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Destroyed in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I destroy the door of worry right now in the name of Jesus. The door of worry. Oh, here's one right here. In the mighty name of Jesus, I destroy the door of anxiety. The door of anxiety. In the name of Jesus, we destroy the door of anxiety. Must be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. And I say that to everybody watching online right now, to those watching in your living room, we destroy in the mighty name of Jesus the door of anxiety right now. Grace and anxiety cannot live in the same place. Grace and anxiety cannot live in the same place. May the grace of the Lord fill your heart. May the grace of the Lord fill your heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Pastor Zach, declare a couple doors to be destroyed.
Lord, I declare right now in the mighty, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the spirit of insecurity be broken, God. I decree and declare in the mighty, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the spirit of a slave be broken off of your people's life, God. They are free. They are not slaves, God. Lord, I decree and declare right now, Father God, Lord, that we break, Father God, the door of self-hatred, God, the door of less than, the door of not good enough, God. Lord, I decree and declare and break every word curse spoken over your children, over your sons and daughters, God, right now in the mighty name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I decree and declare, Father God, and break the door of prayerlessness, God. Lord, let your people be filled up with the Holy Ghost, God. Lord, I decree and declare, Father God, and break, Father God, the door of secret sin in the lives of your children, Father God, that they would be free men and women, God, no longer bound, God, by demons in the dark, God. Lord, I decree and declare, Father God, the breaking, Father God, of the spirit of lackluster, God, of lukewarm, of mediocrity, God. I pray, God, your children would be set on fire right now, God, by the Holy Spirit, my God. I decree and declare, Father God, and we break, Father God, every spirit, God, of worry, God, every spirit of pessimism, God, every spirit of not expecting good things from you, God, every spirit of anxiety, God. Lord, we decree and declare optimism, hope, joy, love, God, power, and a sound mind, God, over your children right now, Father God. And we decree and declare, Father God, right now, in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father God, that your children, Father God, would not be bound, Father God, by a sense of inability to fulfill, God, but would know that they are made in promises, God. Lord, that they are children of promises, God, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. In that same spirit, I declare right now, fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of God is going to become in your life, not the fruit of the flesh, not the fruit of darkness, not the fruit of the world, but I declare the fruit of the Spirit. Love is going to be imparted into your heart, not love of the world, but the love of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, joy. That is unspeakable joy, not happiness of this world, but joy of the Spirit. Lord, I declare right now, I decree right now, I prophesy right now, God, the fruit of the Spirit, God, you are breaking open gates to your children to walk into pasture, God, and they're going to eat a fruit of the Spirit. They're going to eat, God, of joy, unspeakable joy, where they laugh in the morning. God, they're not carried down by depression. They're not carried down by darkness, but they're carried, God, by your Spirit, by your power, by your love, God. Lord, I decree right now peace that surpasses all understanding. Anxiety has to go in the name of Jesus. Worry has to go right now in the name of Jesus. The peace of God is coming upon your mind. The yoke of God is coming upon your shoulders. The yoke of God is helping you and carrying you and giving you strength in this season. The Lord is blessing you with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of God. Fruit of God is coming upon your life right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Oh, Father God, we just give you all the glory this morning, God. Hallelujah, Father God. Right now, Father God, we pray, Lord God, that you would break that door of condemnation right now, Lord God. Lord, we pray that you set the captive free right now, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. Lord, no more prisoners, Lord God, this day, God, Father God. Lord, we are free, Lord God. We are free, Lord God, to do your will, Lord God, because we have been called, Father God, by you, Lord God, and no other, Lord God. And Father God, I pray right now, Lord God, Lord, we come against every lie from the pit of hell right now in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. Every lie, Lord God, that is spoken to those, Lord God, with condemnation, Lord God. But Lord God, we pray that you set them free right now, Lord God. Lord, we pray, God, that we continue, Father God, to, Lord, to listen to your word, Father God. And Lord, I speak, Lord God, Lord, I speak freedom right now in Jesus' mighty name. We speak freedom right now, Lord God, to do your will, Lord God, to serve you, Lord God, because we know that you can do it again. We know that you can do it again, God. We know, Father God, that you can do it again. You can do it in us again, Lord God. We are living products, Lord God, this morning, God. We give you all the glory and all the honor this morning, Lord God, and we praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's come into agreement with all the prayers that are spoken in the name of Jesus. Lord, Father God, we unite our faith, Father God, a corporate faith plea, God, in the name of Jesus of every declaration, every petition, every prophecy that was spoken over your altar right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, we present it to you, God, that you may blow on it, Father God, that you may blow your life into it, Lord, Father God. Lord, Father God, I'm reminded in Acts 2 where the fire fell on the day of Pentecost, Lord, and your spirit rested upon your people, God. So I pray, Father God, as we are uniting our faith, God, that your Holy Spirit will rest upon what was spoken, God. Your word never comes back void, Father God. And with that, Father God, we will rejoice. And with that, Father God, we will walk in new levels of confidence, God. And with that, Father God, we will walk no longer defeated, but Lord, we will be walking in the victory of you, God. We thank you, Father, for dying on the cross, God, and saying it is finished, Father God. So, God, give us the fire to burn inside our hearts to see this into a manifestation in our homes, our lives, and our relationships, God. And most of all, God, continue to develop our ear to hear and our hands to work unto you and our feet to walk according to your will and to your way, God. So with that, God, we thank you, Lord Father God, and we ask that you just continue to teach us, to love us, and lead us in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to transition to our tithes and offerings portion of our service. And I have a scripture right here in Malachi 3:10, and it's a familiar scripture, but as Pastor Brian has been preaching this powerful teaching of keys and doors, I believe in this scripture, there's a key being handed to us through the tithes and offerings. Malachi 3:10 says this, "Bring the whole tithe into your storehouse, that there may be food in my house." He says this, "Test me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be any room to store it." As we prepare, let us just turn the key of tithing. Turn the key of tithing and allow God to open up those floodgates in our lives. Here at Chapel of Change, we have many ways to give. We have four ways to give, which is on my screen. But also, we have the ability to give through a debit card. For those who want to give by debit card, you can do so after the service in that back table in that way. Also, we have Scan to Give. If you want to give with your phone app, you could click on the QR code and give in that manner as well. Or as the ushers come forward, we are about to facilitate just giving in person through the buckets as we pass along the buckets in that way as well. We have some announcements here at Chapel of Change. I want to announce that we're going to be having a Good Friday service that will be coming up. Information's on the back. That'll be coming up in preparation of the Resurrection Sunday. Also, we have Easter Sunrise Service, Resurrection Sunrise Service. If you've never been a part of the Sunrise Service, is we set up on the outside on this east side, and we worship the Lord in the open air before the sun comes up. Yes, it's dark. Yes, it's a little cold. We'll have tables, chairs, refreshments, and just a stage. Everyone just relocates out there so that we can worship. We can give testimonies and hear the word of God that morning. And as we're doing so, the sun rises. When the service is completed, we all shout a hearty amen in celebration to the Resurrection Sunday. Also, we have normal service times as well, 10:15 and our 12:30 here at Paramount. If you want to be a part of that, bring your family, bring your friends out there. We're going to be having a celebration type flow, and also we're going to be, I believe, doing Easter eggs for the kids, giving it some good times, family time for us as well. I believe we're going to be taking some pictures. If you want to get your pictures taken, we'll have something in the back lobby as well. Let's pray over the offering. I'll release the ushers and I'll dismiss with a blessing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability to give. We thank you for the key of tithing, God, that you may just allow us to sow into your kingdom, that there will be food, there will be resources, there will be a platform that people may know and come to love you, God. So with that, Father God, we ask, Lord, that you receive these offerings, Lord, with a smile on your face, God, knowing that we are giving unto you with love, thankfulness, and gratitude, God. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said.